Dare I say Internet Explorer has saved us.
Guys, first of all, apologies.
We were on time.
We were actually 1 minute past nine. We said, yes, we've done it on time. And then YouTube had a moment and decided it was happy to preview everything, just didn't actually want to stream anything.
Everything is broken.
But don't worry, we're safe. Microsoft Internet Explorer has saved us. It's not something you hear every day, but for a change, Microsoft Internet has actually saved our bacon.
I was going to say, I feel quite dirty.
And the pig. And the farm.
That's it.
If it wasn't for Internet Explorer, there'd be no stream.
What?
So you guys can put your thanks towards Internet Explorer. Anyway, on with the program, Thingy Bob.
Yes, what do we call it? What podcast are we at?
56.
56. 56K. No wonder everything's so slow.
I'm the Suffolk Grand.
Scazius.
And welcome to our very officially... It's great, really. It's we're both IT nerds, and none of us could figure out how on earth to get the stream to start.
Yeah.
I was thinking, actually, we're doing the very IT nerdy thing, which is just try it and see what happens.
What happens?
This is the secret fixing computers. You know, whenever someone, if you're IT people, you'll know this. Someone says, can you open a computer? Yeah, fine. Whenever you sit on it, you always say, look, can you just leave it with me for a few minutes? I need some quiet to concentrate. What that actually means is, I'm just going to randomly try things until I hit the answer.
And when you
I'm going to Google it.
And when you come back, I would have solved the issue and look incredibly smart.
Yeah. What you don't know is it took me trying 500 different settings to get that issue fixed. But we're here. So far, no one's in our chat, so I have a feeling the message might not have got across.
Oh, YouTube.
I'm sorry, guys, but hopefully you'll join us shortly. Perhaps we can go on the control room and see if we've actually got anyone watching us. That was a hit, yeah.
Let's see.
Scroll up.
No.
No. No one got the message that we were moving. We should have left that event up a bit longer.
Oops. I wonder if that'll even notify the people that were already on the event that we've deleted the event. Or if they don't refresh the page, it's not going to say anything, is it?
They're going to sit there for the next 6 hours wondering, bloody hell, they're late.
Oops.
But the best thing, if someone comes just a bit late, they're going to go, oh, they won't start till 5:30. They're going to go, oh, here they are, broadcasting.
I've actually had a couple...
Where are you at?
I've had a couple people say, like, oh, yeah, I looked at the time the stream was supposed to start. And it said, you know, 9:30. So I came half an hour late expecting you guys to be, you'd already fucking nearly finished the podcast. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's a change. Not a time. Anyway, time we move on with our podcast. So... games been playing? Have you been up to anything this month, Luke?
Yes.
Right. I had to ask that because somebody hasn't put them in the show notes.
Well, yeah, that's because emails and reasons. I haven't checked my email in like 2 years. But I have been playing Crack again.
Crack?
Yes.
Do you play Crack? I thought you bought it from the ketchup on the corner of the street.
Sometimes. This is Blizzard brand Crack. Right. Ooh. Yeah. I've been playing World of Warcraft.
Hey!
Vanilla? Yes. Yes, of course, vanilla.
Right? There's not many sprinkles?
Yes. Fucking. Like, it was, oh, but what about Legion, the new expansion pack? I'm not paying Blizzard anything. No. No subscription fee for Blizzard. They suck. But Vanilla WoW is actually quite fun. And even going back, so they did a lot of kind of quality of life changes throughout the different iterations of WoW, through the different expansions, and wow, the game feels different without some of them.
I like that you say quality of life as if like I saw elderly hospital patients.
Oh, mate, it sounds like it. So I invited a load of people. The Nastarius server, which I mentioned before, that got shut down by Blizzard, These other guys got hold of it and they started to blend the server in together into their own thing to make a more vanilla-y experience. It's as close to being a Blizzard server as it can be without being a Blizzard server, so you have to scribble the events and things like that. So I invited a few people that hadn't played WoW in a long time. I'd also invited some folks that had never really gotten into MMOs before, people who had played WoW back in the day and said, no, this is shit, I'm not playing it. So, one of those people was Divine, one of the folks who watches the live stream with me.
He might be watching.
Might be, possibly. And I don't think Divine would mind me saying this, but I think it might have been on...
It can't complain.
It might have been. It might have been Friday. It was probably Friday. Maybe another day. I don't know. We spent
yesterday to you and me.
Possibly. Is it? I don't know. Wait. Oh my god! It might have been. I've lost all this time. I've been playing too much crack. I seriously have. I've lost days since I got this installed the other week. And I kind of robbed my character. I kind of let it sit for a little. It's vanilla. It's not too bad. I remember vanilla. It's not going to be a problem. Me and Divine sat there for like a full fucking day until 1 o'clock in the morning playing through vanilla. Wow. I was like, holy shit, son. And.
Ooh. Yay. We have a Vuma.
Hey, you found us, mate. Yeah, see, the thing, YouTube broke it, okay?
Yeah.
And now we're talking WoW, vanilla WoW. It's an addiction, it's still an addiction. I still think the vanilla WoW is the best of all the WoWs out there. But yeah, they did loads of quality of life things, and eventually they kind of broke the game. Look, so they started to try and change it to get more casual players in. Obviously, their subs dipped, they made the game a bit easier, level up a bit faster, get mounts a bit earlier, stuff like that. Actually, do you remember way back in the early days, getting a mount was a level 40 thing?
No, I never got that far.
Right. A lot of people did.
I got to about level 9 and got bored.
See, a mount was a level 40 thing. Okay? In later versions of WoW, mount was level 20.
Yeah.
And you could get to level 20 in no time.
I remember playing it at a later date. I remember playing WoW at a later date. So I played the Ulysses with you guys on the original server and got bored of it. I forgot about level 9. And I managed to die somewhere and respawn in an area that was like 60 levels higher than I should have been. And it's like, oh good, I literally saw, you know, you could respawn at a graveyard or something.
Yes.
Yeah, I managed to do that, and I found I was like level 5 and I was at all level 9 or whatever it was. And I was like level 20 or 30 area, and so I couldn't go anywhere because, you know, I tried to walk anywhere, something would attack me and kill me. Well, it was worse, anything had question marks for a level. Because obviously so high up, so he's like, oh shit.
Oh, never the
day. I was just saying to you, of course, because there's not six people on the server, I was like, I was thinking, can someone come sort of escort me out of here, please? Someone who's actually ground themselves to like level 50, can they come sort of escort me back to the newbie zone, please? Because I'm stuck here.
Good time.
I actually created an escort mission in Val.
So, go help another player character to get out of that fucking shit-invested zone.
All I remember was walking around as this course, and it's like, there's all these big things, like, 5 times the size of me everywhere. It's like, I have no idea why. It's like some deserty area. I had no idea where I was. And then I went to that sort where
you started as a tauren, didn't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Cow.
Yeah. Giant cow.
Giant cow on legs, of course. And then when I played later on, I did tauren again.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I made him all George Ginger with nose ring. I called him Highland with big horns. Like a Highland cow. And then I created a dwarf character. And do you know why I created a dwarf character?
Sure.
Because he has a ram as a mount.
Oh, no, I think I remember you saying that.
I created a dwarf character so I could have a ram as a mount.
Oh, God.
And he had a lot more guns, so.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought of possibly coming back to another one?
Possibly.
Let me just say the grind is still real. Holy crap, man. So now, in the current WoW expansion, I think the level cap is 110. Now, I know in the last expansion, with the level cap being 100, there were people who were getting from level 1 to level cap in one day.
Yeah, that's happening every time, isn't it? I mean, when they released their first expansion, that raised it from, was it
Burning Crusade?
Was it 60 to 70 it raised it from?
Yes.
And they said they expected the first 70 to come up 2 weeks later.
Mm.
24 hours later, someone was level 70.
Well, that's fair, but to go from 1 to 70, that would be, back in them days, would have been pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
To go, you know, 60 to 70, you know, your level cap to level cap, was that's not too bad. But now, in current WoW, to go from level 1 to level 70 could take a day. And even less. Now, there was a time, I remember, back in the day, where if you wanted to go to a dungeon, you would have to go to that location on the map. That's one of the things I liked about it. I got to explore, find new things, you know, suss out the way the world works, the kind of politics of the land. Not in later versions of WoW. They included a dungeon finder. And basically, you'd get to, like, level 10 or level 15, which you could do from getting out of the newbie zone this time around. And you would then queue up. You would just use the dungeon finder. And what that basically was is you'd press a button. You'd say, right, I want to do Dead Mines. You know, one of the First Alliance dungeons. hit the button, or I want to do stockades or Nomeregon or whatever, hit the button and it would queue you up. And you'd say what class you were, so like if you're a warrior, you'd likely be a tank, you know, you'd have a healer, yeah. And it would look for DPS. Once it had found all these other people queuing up for that same dungeon, bam, you're teleported straight in there. So you don't even have to leave your capital city to travel the world to these dungeons.
In fairness, I can sort of see a use for that, because if you were somebody who could only like play an hour in the evening, that would be dead useful. If you want to have a bit of fun and you enjoy the hack and slash, but didn't want to lose half an hour to your game time to walking there, I could sort of see that being a use if you want to have the fun part.
However, if that meant that from that point on a lot of people never left the starter areas, they never really got into the story.
Yeah.
I mean, I know some people literally picked up the game, got to the point where they had the Dungeon Finder, and then they never left, say, Stormwind or Ironforge. And they would literally just Dungeon Finder it and Raid Finder it all the way to level cap. I was like, you could have just, you know, explored a bit, checked out some of the storylines, immersed yourself a little bit.
No, but if you're not interested in that.
Well, I suppose. But that's like, at that point, why are you paying a subscription? You know, go and play one of the other games that specialise in that kind of gameplay.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, my opinion of grinding and MMO combat anyway, so.
So, jumped onto vanilla. None of that stuff is there. Really fun. I've had a lot of fun going back there. It's been me, Scribs Divine, and Inky have been playing.
Suppose in a weird way, it must be like going back to if you grew up like a childhood town you haven't been to in years. You know, you went there on holiday when you were like six, then you go back there when you're in your 30s, and everything's still roughly the same. All the streets are all the same, and you know, old Jacket Number 6 still lives there. You remember he used to give you a penny sweet and something. And it's like going. It must be like that. So very nostalgic, really.
It has been. I mean, I remember playing that game way back when it first came out with Scribs, back in the college days. Scribs jumped on the server and it was like we'd never left. It was the same. The music was gorgeous. I don't remember WoW looking as good as it does, but it looks beautiful when you're playing it on the highest settings. Just a really fun game. And to find that even folks like Divine, when you've got a good group together, were coming in just like happy to play. Really neat. I don't like a lot of the quality of life changes that Blizzard has made to the game to make it easier for casuals, to make it so that gold means nothing now and that auction prices are ridiculous. I remember once upon a time, hitting an enemy with a 20k crit meant you actually had some skill. Now, you're rolling off 100k crits from the moment you get out the fucking door. It's like, well, where's the point? What's the point in this? I'm kind of more of a... Don't get me wrong, I'm not a hardcore MMO player, but I like to feel challenged. I like to feel rewarded. I don't like them handing me legendaries on a plate. It just kind of bores the ever-loving shit out of me, so I can't get into new WoW, plus I'm not a fan of modern-day Blizzard. But their old game, the original World of Warcraft, was definitely a masterpiece. It was one of the greats.
Cool.
Coming from a pretty seasoned MMO player.
Yeah, well, yes, I mean... I did play original WoW, but I feel it was one of the games I sort of played for like a week or so, and then I just sort of got a bit. Sorry. On a Griffin and Evening, lads. I think I played for like a week or so, and I just sort of like got fed up. Actually, I don't remember. I remember I had to stop playing WoW because I hit a place. Well, I had to stop playing WoW. Before I got trapped so I couldn't get out. I got to this section and there were dogs howling. This is when I went back to it a bit later on, actually. I'm missing my times up. And there's these wolves howling. And we just got ourselves a little shelty puppy. And it completely freaked him out.
So you had to quit the game?
I had to stop playing the game because he used to get freaked out by it. Pulled away, he was getting really scared and sort of hiding in a little puppy, so I'd stop playing the game for him.
Bless you. Yeah. That's love, that is. Secretly, Nick is really an MMO and WoW addict.
There's another game I'd play, which I would have my own dog, which I couldn't play, because remember the dog barks in the game? And it's like, there's like into the general background noise, there's a dog barking every few minutes.
Yeah.
Just a general background noise. Whenever it barked, might set my dog off, thinking there's another dog outside, and I'd stop playing that for the sole play of headphones, just for the same reasons. Ah, dogs and games. So... Where can people find this? Can anyone join this, or is it like invitation only?
It's completely free to play. And for the life of me, I can't remember how to spell this. Is it like
they host a client as well? Do you have
they host it. It's you can download it. They link to torrents and a couple of other sites that you can pull it down. They have a Mac client as well.
Totally a Blizzard's blessing, I imagine.
Oh yeah, of course. Fuck Blizzard. I hate Blizzard so much. Modern Blizzard, you suck. Divine can probably throw it in the chat, but it's something like the Elysium Project -something-project.org.
We'll put a link in the show.
If you type in WoW private server and then -project.org, it will come up with the thing.
We'll put a link in the show notes or this audio listens to find.
Sure, because it's been so fun. I've rolled both, or I will be rolling a Horde player later.
Cool.
I've got an Alliance Warrior at the moment.
What are you at the moment?
Human Warrior. I always started off as a Human Warrior. I always rolled Warrior to start with because that was my first ever class in an MMO. Yeah. I always started off as a Warrior, so first thing I do when I get into a new MMO is to see how Warrior classes play out compared to other ones. But I just want to end on one thing. Mm. MMOs and music.
Yes.
MMOs have some of the most gorgeous music I've ever heard in video games. Final Fantasy XI, Final Fantasy XIV, even Ragnarok Online had a gorgeous soundtrack. World of Warcraft, I have those CDs ripped onto my MP3 player now. So I actually have the soundtrack CDs
as well, actually.
I said Final Fantasy XIV, I'm sure. Secret World has a beautiful soundtrack, considering the tone of the game. Just really, really fun. Really nice environment, even if you just want to chill out. And graphically, considering the game is so old, absolutely beautiful.
Mm.
So, yeah.
That's because they did that sort of cartoony style graphics, didn't they? Which doesn't age that badly. So.
Well, the thing is, they upgraded the graphics in later expansions to try and keep up with more modern MMOs. Mm. But I was like, if you play the original WoW on ultra settings or at the highest they can go at 1080p, it still looks really, really good.
Yeah.
So, good game.
Cool.
Addiction. Crack.
Cool.
Digital crack. I haven't had time to do anything else in life because I've thrown it all into WoW.
There's worse things to throw it into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hatch from crack.
Cool. Anything else?
No, that's pretty much cool. Man, it's WoW. When have I got time for anything else?
That's very true.
The second someone says to me, oh yeah, I can't play WoW tonight, I start hissing at him. Swearing at him.
Good. So I was putting the chat for us. Thank you for that.
Thank you. That's divine.
Thank you, divine. So I've been playing Invisible Ink.
Invisible Ink?
Invisible Ink. It's a cyberpunk sort of tactical espionage spy game. Mm. Sort of background of it is there's this cut, it's set in the future, I think it's called 2070, I think it's set.
Mm-hmm.
In a future where corporations rule everything. I'm not describing Continuum, which we described a few weeks ago, which is very similar plot line.
It's ruled by corporations. Like, now?
No, there's about four in the whole world who rule this whole
Taco
place.
Taco Bell. McDonald's.
Yeah.
Starbucks.
Yeah. I think there's a weapon manufacturer, robots manufacturer, some sort of medical manufacturer, and somebody else.
Starbucks.
Yeah, possibly Starbucks.
It's got to be Starbucks.
It's got to be Starbucks. And you play sort of underground spies. He's sort of fighting against the corporations. It's called Invisible Ink. At the very start, sort of starting cutscene is where you're based. Someone tips off these agencies, they come after you because you cause them a lot of trouble, and they basically assault your base.
Mm.
And they manage to wipe everybody out apart from the control person, the sort of what she's called, she's called Control, I think it's an actual sort of code name. Mm. And you have this big computer called Incognita, and she steals the computer's sort of memory core. And you and a couple of the agents, you go onto this jet and you basically fly away and escape. But she plugs the computer core into this jet, and so you're based off this little jet which just all go across the world, and she plugs it into it. But the computer can only survive the jet for 72 hours before basically they lose everything. That computer is what they use to hack everything, track targets and so forth. So once that goes,
that's it.
They've had it. So you are basically at a time limit to get this. You have to basically find a way to fight back against these corporations within 72 hours. And because you have to fly everywhere, so like your first mission might be like 12 hours away.
Right.
So you have to fly. Already you've lost track. You've lost a sixth of your time.
So you actually pick where you...
Yeah. Ooh. Well, when you first mission you get, you've only got one choice. But then you can... And you fly there, and you basically... As you go on, you unlock more types of missions. So you have missions that, for example... You have like headquarters missions, which might give you more information. You can have access to serve, and that might find more targets.
Mm-hmm.
You've got places which are like vaults,
mm-hmm.
but you can't just go to a vault straight away. You have to go to some corp offices first to get a key that unlocks a vault.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you get the key, you can then go to the vault owned by the same company to unlock it and get in. You've got missions that take you to weapon places where they're like doing weapons, so you can like acquire new weapons. Places that are like sort of server farms where you can like get new programs for your computer system, and there's also places like where you can have augments put into people. So some that's in the future, but most people are augmented.
Okay.
So some are more than others. Some are like total cyborgs.
Right.
So every sort of turn, so it's split into two parts. It's very much like XCOM the way it plays. You have the world, then you have to pick a mission, then you go on the mission, you then take control, it's turn-based, then you go back to the map page, and then you sort of look for new targets. And you have to complete a certain number of missions within the time frame, and don't get caught. It's got permadeath, so when you want your agents to die, they can't come back. You can save if you can revive them in the level, or you can drag them to a teleporter, which then you get out, and then they can be brought back to life for the next mission. But if you leave them in the field,
they're
gone. Or sometimes they will appear in prison cells. You can capture them back. You can rescue them.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Neat mechanic.
But you're very limited to how much you can do.
Don't
let
your best guy get ruffled because you think he's too tough.
No, exactly, yeah. So the actual game sort of... So you go on a mission. The actual missions itself are a turn-based tactical mission.
Mm-hmm.
So it's procedure generated. Or you'll get normally about 10 rooms linked together.
Sure.
Procedure generated. So it'll generate the rooms. And you always got some targets. So a good example might be you've got a server you need to hack, corporate mm-hmm. server you need to hack. And so you'll be randomly teleported into one room. You'd have to work your way out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find the server, hack it, and then you get out. So I said it's turn-based, so you move around like an XCOM. You can use certain number of action points a turn.
Mm-hmm.
So you might use it to walk next to a door, look through the keyhole, as it were. Then if you open the door, you can see better. But after the guard's looking at the door, he might notice you.
Yeah.
So you have to look, see if there's a guard looking at the door, you might see a try and work out his patrol. But if you look at the guard, you can observe him and try and work out his patrol route.
Okay, yeah.
But that uses action points up. It's designed to be quite unforgiving and quite hard, so every decision you make is a decision you have to make. So your basic stun weapon takes 3 turns to recharge.
Ooh.
So if you get a guard and you stun him...
You're basically defenseless
for him. Yeah. But you can only knock them out. You can't actually knock them out. And they don't knock them out permanently.
Mm.
They get knocked out for just 3 turns.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Okay.
So once the guard's down... Now, you can keep it for long. If you stay... If you pin what they call pin them. If you stay leaving agents on top of them, they'll hold them down.
Mm.
And that basically stops their timer from decreasing.
Mm.
So you can actually have an agent pin someone down. So let's say you need to get past them at a later date. You might have to say, well, this agent's going to stay here and pin him and hold him there until we can get by his pass. I can't have this guy waking up. Because as soon as he wakes up, he's going to start looking for you.
Yeah.
But you don't so much alert, they start looking for you.
Mm.
So he's going to start searching his way around and so forth. They'll look for like open doors. They're very intelligent, actually, the guards. Behave quite realistically. They're going
to a tracking phase.
Yeah. Well, they're quite realistic. From whatever I've played, the guards don't seem to give up. Mm. Once a guard knows you're there, he'll keep looking for you. They don't seem to give up. If like they notice something that doesn't, it's not obvious. They like see you moving at the corner of the eye. They might investigate and then change their mind and go back to their patrol route.
But once you've done them, they're
obviously they know someone's here, so they're going to start searching for you. They're going to keep searching for you,
mm-hmm.
and they'll go from room to room to room looking for you. So it's actually quite a big deal to take out a guard because as soon as you do that, you're basically asking.
You've rumbled it. Yeah. At that point.
So you might then be tempted to think, well, that's what I'll do. I'll be very careful. I'll just simply move my guys very slowly and cautiously. I might like waste for action points to sort of gradually sneak my way around them.
Yeah.
But you can't do that because there's like at the top of the game, it's a security level. And of course your idea is your computer's hacked into this building to allow you to gain access to it and now you take control of all the devices in there.
You can only really stay invisible for so long before someone
knows. So it's an alarm counter. And every turn it's like 5 segments and it lights up. Once it gets to the 5th segment, the overall alarm level goes up. And so after the first five, not much happens. It just goes up a little bit and nothing really happens. It just gives you more. Oh, this is on the basic difficulty. Hard difficulties, it sort of advances, the effects advance quicker. Then I think the next level up, they start putting more, switching more security cameras on.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next level after that, they start increasing firewalls. Mm-hmm. So basically, to hack something, every electronic device has got a number of firewalls attached to it. So to hack it, you have to spend power, which is what your computer has, and it can, think of it like mana.
Okay.
And it may take two power to knock a firewall down by one. So if you've got two firewalls, you need to have at least four power to knock it down to zero and hack it. As time goes on, they'll start hardening the firewalls, so they'll get more layers of protection on them. Mm-hmm. So it may now require you six power to counterfeit it. And you can only, at a base level, you can only have 20 power. You can gain power by hacking terminals, like when your character's hacking them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other abilities that are to gain power. And really, my top tip is look for any ability that gives you more power, because that basically is what you need to get around the levels. If you don't have that,
you're basically stiffed at that point.
Because some of the later guards, you have to hack their armour.
Does every mission type require you to actually go on site?
Yes.
Okay.
That's sort of the sort. It's sort of the XCOM type where you have to go on site.
No, I just wasn't sure if maybe there were different modes of play involved, or whether it was just literally.
It's basically the world map and infiltrations, but they're different objectives.
Sure.
So you hack your way around the building and so forth. And as security levels go up, eventually they'll call more guards in,
mm-hmm.
who will start searching for you. Oh, this is the other good thing is, some guards have armour, and your basic stone weapons can't get through armour. So, if you have a guard of armour, you have to avoid them completely, or find some armour-piercing weapons. Which you can get armour-piercing weapons, but they're very scarce, so I try to avoid guards of armour. So you do find yourself will be very clever, and there's also drones in it, which you can hack. But eventually they reboot and they'll come after you and they'll start looking for you again. It's a very tough game. Mm-hmm. It is quite tough, and it hits the same notes as XCOM does. Every time I play a mission in XCOM, I was stressed. Even though it's turn-based, I was stressed because I was thinking, right, it's going to take me three turns to get over there. There's a guy there. I'm not going to do it. He's going to find my other guy in two turns who haven't got enough weapons to give him, so he's unarmed. So he's going to find them. And you do things like, for example, I had a situation where I had one guy who there's a guard who I need to knock out, but one guy who had the stun gun was not near enough, but another person had enough movement. She could walk to the guy who got the stun gun. They could trade it. She took something off him. Then she can go knock the guard out, so you can trade stuff between the guys. Yeah, so it is quite in depth, actually. It's like a lot of simple systems that are quite in depthly linked together.
Mm-hmm.
So you hack your way through the building and so forth, and then you get to the thing, and eventually you teleport yourself back out, and then you go on to further missions. I will say it is very, very short.
So you finished it?
Yeah, it takes only a few hours to play.
Okay, cool.
Well, because you think you. The first mission is 12 hours away, so you fly there, and that's a sixth of your game time gone already.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you don't wait for 12 hours, it's an accelerate, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
That would be cool. But most missions tend to be between 8 and 6 hours away, so you may do like six missions before you get to the final one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final.
And obviously, that's going to change based on. Obviously, they're going to open up different missions
as you go, but you can play differently each time. Yeah, but they always see, because you fire jet obviously starts where it last finished. All your other new missions do tend to be between 6 and 12 hours away, usually more like 8 to 12. So you do find yourself quite quickly running out of time. I will say, when I sort of got to it, my last mission I had to do before I got to the final mission, I had 6 hours of time left, but missed the place with 8 hours away. I thought, I've had it. Thought, I'll try it anyway. Mm-hmm. Flew there and it let me do it. So obviously it's built in that it'll let you go and do the last mission if you can, and then you go straight to the final mission and complete that. And the final mission is tough, to say the least. I lost one of my guys on the final mission because you have a hacker server,
mm-hmm.
and my guy was hacking the server, and they spawned, and it took four turns to hack the server,
mm-hmm.
and there was a guard in the room who one of my other agents was pinning on the ground. And two of my other agents had worked their way through to another place, and then a guard was brought in the room next door. There's like a sort of guard, there's like guard put to get materialised in, who's been brought into a room next door. and I had one agent there, and basically I had to slow this guard down for one turn. I had to stop and move because there was no way I was going to get everything done in time. That was a matter of timing. So my agent literally stood there where the guard was going to put, where the guard appeared in front of the door. He just stood there waiting for him. The turn ends. The guard sees him. My agent's there. In the room, the hacker's got, the hacker gets, has got one turn left. The guy that's been down is going to recover in two turns. The person pinning him has run to the door, next to the door where the hacker's going to be. So ready to go out the room.
Oh, God.
The turn ends. My semi-agent trying to run away from the guard, hoping the guard might follow him. Guard shoots him dead. The guard then starts heading straight towards server room. By this point, though, because I've delayed him by a turn, my guy's finished the hack. I then get to move him to the doorway. The guard in the corner has recovered by the next point. Mm-hmm. The guard's recovery then comes through the doorway looking at server room. This allows my other two people to go out and run past him and get through to the next bit. But there's another guard patrolling the room, so they have to go hide. Of course, these two guards, one's been knocked out and one's been... once looking for us, he basically has to start trying to track down. They start coming the same direction. Mm-hmm. So I have to find a way to sneak these guys past, these two guards, and hide in this room while I've got three people. I've got a guard patrolling, two guards hunting them.
Oh, God.
Luckily, I managed to get one guy hidden behind, the guys hidden behind two obstacles, and the two guards come in. And I do a quick observation, thinking, what am I going to do? Do a quick observation of what they're looking at. I see both guards are going to look at this, are going to investigate the same part of the room. I realise if they do that, that'll basically clear the line of sight for both my people to be able to move. So I end the turn, they go and look, and I can clear up and move my two people through to the next room, close the door so it's less obvious. And eventually those guards will wander off back to the other rooms. I kind of find my guys on this, right. Like, wow, that was stressful. I lost an agent doing it. I had to sacrifice somebody to do it.
Poor bastard.
That was a fun mission. But it was
someone had to die. Did you give a little plaque?
But I would say it probably would have, a game would take you probably about 2 hours to play.
Sure.
They are really quite
multiple
short.
Multiple endings or?
No. But.
It's a very quick but.
Every time you complete a campaign, you gain experience from it. And experience unlocks new agents.
Okay.
Which you can start another game with, the new agents. You also unlock more tools. What it doesn't carry over is things like stats. So your stats get reset each time you play.
Which is fair.
You just IP agents as you go.
Yeah, but I liked it more to... Because your stats tie into what you can do. I'd rather it had been a case of... You carry your stats over, but it will level the game appropriately.
Right.
So missions get tougher, but means you can play around with more toys.
Okay.
I'd rather it done that. So
you wish it had like a game plus mode.
Yeah, but it'd be cool if every time you complete the campaign, you've got to keep everything over. So basically, it got more and more challenging every time you played it. I'd prefer that.
Would you even prefer it if, like, say, they gave you permadeath on a character, but that character didn't come back, they gave you a new...
The trouble is all characters are proper named characters, and they've all got bios and backgrounds, so there's only eight. So if they gave permadeath, you'd be like Rainbow Six, where all of a sudden you only got the reserves in every mission. Because like, when I used to play Rainbow Six, I had permadeath in Rainbow Six. What I used to do is I used to send reserves on my missions. Because they had a little silly picture, they looked like they were wearing like, stormtrooper visors, didn't they? They had sort of stormtrooper goggles on. And I used to hate having my guys killed. If any of my guys died on a mission, I had to restart the mission. Incapacitate was fun, so it can recover from that. But killed, no.
Sergeant Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Like, get in there.
It's like, you're just a number. You're fine. I don't care about you.
I've got a wife and kids and blah, blah, blah.
You're just a number to me. In you go.
But this is a suicide mission. You'll be fine, mate. I've planned this out.
Yeah, fine. Just don't shoot the hostages. It's a fun game. If you like XCOM...
Mm.
You're gonna like this. You're gonna probably like this game. If you like sort of the cyberpunky themes, you're gonna like this game. That's what it is. 4-point XCOM sort of crossed with sort of Deus Ex a little bit, really. Sort of cyberpunkiness. It's all that sort of stuff. And also the other nice thing about it's got like about 8 difficulty levels. But the great other thing you can do is
stock, it's already pretty hard.
Yeah. I played a beginner. And it wasn't challenging.
You just said it was hard.
It was beginner was definitely, you had to think what you're doing. You couldn't
the beginner
make
a wasn't like, here you go, there's some blocks.
You can't make a mistake. You couldn't make a mistake. If you made a mistake, you were really screwed unless you were thinking about what you're doing. You couldn't not think about, but it was still, it was relatively easy. I don't think I can bring myself to play on the hard enough.
Go on.
Because, no, I think
Let's play it.
The stress would kill me.
Go on.
The stress would get to me so badly. So I was stressed enough playing as it is. I was like, oh, good, I complete it now. I don't know if I can want to play it again because the stress of it all. I get so stressed out. You know, it's turn-based. It's just because the thing worse about turn-based is that you know how much you can do in a turn and you can think, there's no way I can do this. There's just no way, the way the gods are at the world's line, the amount of power I've got, the amount of action points I've got, I'm going to be able to do what I want to do. Whereas when you're sort of playing something that's sort of real time, it's not just because you think, well, I'm just have to react quicker.
And he says a turn-based syndicate with a time limit.
Yeah, sort of. Yes.
So I'll throw out there, and no one's going to like this. My favourite turn-based game was Valkyria Chronicles on PlayStation 3.
I've got it on the PC, I've not played it.
Yeah, if I haven't got it on PC, I need to get it on
That's
PC.
The one where you can actually, in its turn-based, you can actually like aim and stuff, can't you? Yeah. But it's funny, because you actually take direct control, but it's not like grid-based, so you've got direct control of people and actually move around yourself, don't you? Yeah, so it's sort of a hybrid.
Yeah, you can also, you can extend... characters' movements as well. So by foregoing another player's turn, you can extend the movement of another main character.
Interesting type of turn-based,
which is pretty neat. So let's say you desperately need to move a certain number of units into different positions. You could literally say, "Well, fuck it, I'm just going to focus on moving this sniper and use all of my." Your turns aren't just for each individual unit. You have a set number of turns for everyone. Yeah. So you can say, "Well, fuck it, I'm going to move my sniper to the other side of the map, and now no one else can move for the rest of the."
Level.
For the rest of the turn.
Yeah, I need to play that. I've got on my PC. I need to actually sit down and play that.
Yeah. It was pretty neat what I played on the...
PS3.
Yeah, on the PS3.
Didn't
they remastered it on PS4 as well? But,
yeah.
It sounds like a pretty neat game, to be fair.
It is. It's quite neat. One thing I was to say is, regards difficulty levels, is you can there's a custom difficulty level mode. So you can do things like, you have virtually all the options of the game, so you can say things, right, okay, I can increase knockout times.
Mm.
And the default, I think, is like 3 turns, or like plus 1 turn normal, so that gives you 3 turns. You can knock it all up to 99, plus 99, which basically means out for the level.
Yeah.
So if you're in that case, if you want to play a game which is like, what's a normal stuff game, where you knock someone out and they're gone for the level... You can do that. You can increase how much starting money you have to play with. You can make the levels bigger. You can control all this on the custom difficulty, so you can have your own. You can have your thing. Yeah, if you liked UFO XCOM, I'd definitely give Invisible Ink a go. It's not. It's only about £15. Okay. So the Steam sale is about. I think I put about £7 in the Steam sale. So yeah, it's worth it. Just bear in mind, it gets its enjoyment from the fact that you can replay it. It is otherwise a very short game.
Cool. Just whack it in a wish list when it goes on sale, pick it up.
Yeah.
So what you're saying about this whole super customizable difficulty is that, let's say there's something that you really suck at and is kind of really slowing you down in progression of the game, you can actually turn up or down that specific slider.
Yep,
and if there's something that you really excel at, you can bump that up to make it a bit more challenging.
Yeah, you can change how quickly security levels go up.
Hmm.
You can change nearly every stat, every variable you can change. So you can really customize. Yeah, you can really customize. So if you want to make a game really hard, you could perhaps reduce the knockout timer to like sort of nothing.
Hmm.
So you can knock people up for like one turn, they get up. So you have to sort of, I feel that's how you can do it. So you can like make the game even more challenging, or if you get stressed out by the security levels, just put them up really high so nothing really happens.
Mm-hmm.
So you've really got a lot of control of it. So you can customise the game to play how you want to play it, which is very neat.
Sure, sounds good. Ooh. We might have to check that out.
Yeah, Invisible Ink.
Invisible Ink.
Right, so on to TV film review. Anything new? No? Right, okay.
World of Warcraft.
Not really a film, is it? Well, that's not
well there is a film.
That's not true. I just looked at the film's trailer for that. Looks shit.
That's apparently based on the original Warcraft. I don't know. I haven't looked much into it. Chalky says it's actually all right. As long as you don't look at it with the eyes of as a World of Warcraft player. If you look at it as
You know. Yeah. As they're fighting the orcs, you just see numbers appearing.
It's aimed. I mean, come on, Warcraft, original Warcraft. You know, turn-based strat Warcraft. No one remembers that fucking game. No one. No one from the, like, we do.
I played it only a few weeks ago.
We do.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, I don't imagine Warcraft 3 being high on the sales list for Blizzard.
No.
I don't imagine the lore of the original turn-based games being all that fucking stuck in current players' minds. So, to kind of put a film in for the original Warcraft is a bit... No. Cool. I would have liked to have seen how the series panned out, but because the first one flopped so bad.
The Warcraft film has been ongoing for in development hell for years.
Yes.
I remember hearing back in 2005. I think it had been there for some time then.
Jesus Christ! You're talking about the time of the launch of the original World of Warcraft.
Yeah, it wasn't long before Call of Duty. They're talking about doing a film of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been in development hell for years.
It's almost a Duke Nukem Forever of the film world.
Yeah, or Stalker.
Oh my god. But still, I might actually have to check that out just to see, because apparently in some countries it did really well.
Country where I never dubbed it.
Probably. Oh, but might have to check that out.
They redubbed it Lord of the Rings and relabeled it.
Let's have a look.
I did watch Wrestle the week before, enjoyed the hell out of it. Any news on a second season? Well, they've definitely been confirmed for a second season. I think even a third season they've been confirmed for.
Third?
They've planned for 5 seasons. Yeah, I know, that was my season. Do you know, I realise we made a stupid, weren't we, last fortnight, when we discussed Westworld immediately after podcast. We should have bloody recorded it, shouldn't we?
Yes. we must have had like a good half hour discussion.
We could record that and trumped on the site, but we were stupid. Westworld, very good.
Speaking of site, or should we save that for the news?
We'll put that in the news.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You've been hard at work, son. Yeah. But interesting they mentioned Westworld, because I've been watching Person of Interest, which is it was the series made by, I've forgotten his name. The guy who made Westworld made Person of Interest beforehand. Same composer who made all the Westworld music. Jay Davis is attached to it, so very similar. A lot of the crew switched over as well, so they basically saw the next thing he made after Westworld. This is like the one he made before. I'm enjoying it now, but I really struggled when I first watched Person of Interest. The idea is... you're fixated.
The
idea is, it's all sort of quite mysterious. It's basically about these two people initially, a chap called Finch, a chap called Reese. And Finch has got this link to what he calls the machine. Now, he basically built this device called the machine. And it was basically, it's like the prism system, but bigger.
Mm.
It was designed to monitor everything, every camera, every street camera, everything, and all data and everything, all data moved, everything. And it was, you're going to use that to predict major terrorist events. But what he also discovered it was doing was it was spitting out, and the idea was it spit out social security numbers, the people who it thought were going to commit atrocities and so forth. But every day it was also spitting out numbers of people who were going to get involved in what he would call what they would deem as minor crimes, like someone getting shot at gunpoint or someone commits a murder or so forth.
Yeah.
And sort of, in the grand picture of things, the government thought that was irrelevant because they were only interested in stopping the big terrorist plots, not dealing with, you know, so-and-so's going to murder his wife type situations.
Yeah.
So basically, the machine was programmed to delete these numbers every 24 hours, just delete them all as non-relevant data. Well, he basically got conscience and thought, I can't do this. So he found a way to hack into the machine. He built it, and he's also an IT whiz. And
if you've designed a system like that.
Yeah. He hacked into the machine and basically he found a way to get it to...
elevate the threats?
No,
You've got an unpaid parking ticket. You're a terrorist.
No. It would basically tell him the social security numbers of people who can get involved in instances. But he couldn't do it himself. He wasn't a fighter, he was a geek. So he could not fight. So he recruited this guy called Reese, who's ex sort of military and special forces and so forth, who basically, the government basically tried to kill him, basically, because he knew too much. He disappeared off the radar, and basically, Finch finds him and recruits him and says, look, you work for me, you help me find these people, rescue these people, and we can do something, and I'll pay you. Because he's a billionaire. But he disappeared as well, you see, because he was lucky, because all the people involved with the machine got killed. But because he was like a silent partner, he developed it, but the face of the all the government knew the face of the company was his partner. He didn't want to be known for publicity, so he kept silent about it, and he actually pretended to work in the IT department as like a low-level tech advisor. Sure. But he actually built the machine.
I've heard of this before.
So basically, he's out to his high because no one knew he existed. They realised that he had developed this machine, so he was able to disappear, and he basically managed to make himself disappear. And so the series basically, so it's more like, more like a detective series slash sci-fi, where every episode they get given a number, or maybe two numbers, or sometimes, you know, dozens. And they have to work out, and the thing is, they're not told if the person's a victim or a perpetrator, they're just told it's the number they're going to be involved in the crime. So you don't know if the person's going to be the killer, or the person's going to be killed.
Yeah.
So they have to then trail the person, find out what's going on with them, and try and work out what they're going to do, and stop them, or save them. So it's interesting. Now, I really initially struggled to get into it. And the big issue I had was I didn't like the main characters. The chap who plays Reese, his idea of this sort of dark, broody military guy is playing with absolutely zero emulsion.
Emotion. I can imagine him playing him with zero coating abilities, but
zero emotion,
right?
And he's such a deadpan performance. It's like
he's the Nicolas Cage.
he had more emotion. Nicolas Cage.
This
guy had the same facial expression whether he was angry, sad, you know, slightly bemused, annoyed he missed the bus.
What if he was like really happy and laughing?
Same expression. He didn't laugh. Never laughed. It was the same thing. He's just. I really struggled with like the characters. Now, early on, he recruits indirectly to two police officers, and they had far more. I used to enjoy watching the police officers more because they had far more interesting banter between them than these two guys. But after the first season, second season, they started to grow on me, and I've got for the second season five.
And now my season.
Sorry?
Episode
normal Americans, about 24. Ugh. I'm now on the third season. I'm really into it now.
Okay.
I've had a little bit of spell because they have main bad guys. And their main bad guy in the first series set up is to be this guy called Elias.
Right.
Who's like this mobster's son who his father tried to have killed.
Yeah.
And he sort of comes back with vengeance and using sort of cunning and wits and so forth. He basically tries and takes out the mafia. And he's sort of put up to be the big bad guy. But actual fact, he's not. There's another group in there involved called HR.
Human resources. Can never trust them.
Yeah, well, you can't. They're corrupt police officers. And
what do you mean corrupt police officers? They're all bent.
These are the proper. These are the ones who like. For money, they'll kill people. And
so these aren't the guys that will like dodge a parking ticket for some donuts. And
These will kill people to like hide their truth, or if they want like someone to go to, they want to, like they've got links to like mobsters and so forth, and they'll like sort of like say, "Oh, you're a mobster, you're in jail. If we get you out of jail by making the prosecutor disappear,
it's going hard. Disappear."
You'll have to work. You are today. You have to work for us, and so forth. So they're corrupt, and they sort of start off sort of background quite big in the first season, and they sort of disappear in the second season a little bit. They sort of they're there but quite small, and they come back sort of big in the third. My only thing is, I got a bit fed up. The last scene you had, there's like three or five episodes, just centres around like the final war between them as they get took down. And that was interesting, but I was like, I want to get back just to detective drama a bit now. I'm bored of this now. But overall, I'm actually quite enjoying it. I'm enjoying the way, so far I'm enjoying sort of the way it's going with it.
Who filmed it and what's it on?
What film stock it used, I don't know.
No, you're back. Like, where can we watch it?
Netflix, Pirate Bay.
Netflix and Pirate Bay. Gotta bring on Pirate Bay for everything. Like, if it's
Cody. Digital.
Yeah, it's on Cody. It's by the way, Cody is not a piracy platform. It's not a piracy platform, okay?
No.
It's not a thing.
No. It can be used as such.
I keep looking at my laptop and thinking, shit, there's Cody on there. And there's, oh, shit, the Cody icon's on the computer over there. It's like, yeah. I completely pay for everything that I watch.
On Cody.
Yeah. I pay for the bandwidth. What more do they want?
You pay for the person you set it up for you anyway.
That's it.
So, yeah, you can watch it on Netflix. I don't know if they put the full, because it only finished 2015. So I don't have the last series up on Netflix yet. But, yeah, it's...
I'm interested to find out what you think of it when you finish watching the rest of it. Like, are they just building this up for a fall, or...
Good things about it. I heard... The reason I found out about it was when I was watching Westworld and I saw a look at the forums, there were a lot of bits... of people saying, well, this is my same guy did personal interest, and that just stayed good throughout the whole five seasons. Because there are a lot of people basically the same reservations as me and you have.
Yeah, that's why I'm tempted to watch it, because I'm kind of worried that they're going to stretch Westworld out a little thin.
But people say, no, personal interest, it's all five seasons were great. They're ideally paced, they worked all the way through, they were logical, and they followed a plot. So I saw, that's how I found out about it, and then I was lucky to find it was on Netflix. I thought, right, okay, I'll give that a go. Sure. So, yeah, I mean,
it just sounds like Minority Report mixed with 1984 for me.
Yeah, actually, yes it is. Well, the thing is, it's quite obvious quite early on that there's more to the machine than just a computer program. Let me say, it's a very sophisticated computer program.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps too sophisticated for its own good. In how the things it does, and it's quite clear later on that the machine is not just a computer, it's got us brains behind it.
It turns out that it's just randomly picking, it's using a random number generator.
No, it's very, very clever because it's observing it, analyzing it can sort of, there's a bit early on where he shows it finds, tacks down a, it seemingly picks this guy at random. When they were sort of developing it, it picks this guy at random. And they go, they can't work out what's his connection, why is he, the machine said he needs to be dealt with. And the police all go after him, check him down as an experiment. They find he's actually like an underground, like, terrorist. I might be misremembering this slightly. And then they ask, well, how did it find out? And it looks back and it finds out that he was like going to a petrol station doing receipts, but he didn't need to. And that's why it's because he's paying someone off. The machine tracked it all back and worked it all out. That's all how it's meant to find out that stuff.
Remind me to kill myself before the next podcast. I'm going to be a terrorist by the end of the week.
Yeah. So, that's why a lot of people on the forum I read have hopes for Westworld Season 2, because he did it so well, Persons of Interest, but Trial of Persons of Interest was, it was something that didn't have a really, the last episode didn't make it feel like the end of the series.
Yeah, Westworld really, I mean, it did a good job of tying up.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit like, what are you, like, what's the first episode going to be? Like, everyone's just walking around living their daily life. Hey, everyone, tip of the hat. It becomes like Little House on the fucking Prairie.
Yeah. Westworld really did feel finished.
Yeah, that was it. Like, you've done it. Season 2? Not necessary. Yeah, but there's money in it. You've tied up all the ends. Let it go. Yeah, but just, no. Yeah. Let it go.
Yeah, I just can't see many places they can go in Westworld.
But we can flashback loads of... Let it go!
Yeah. We're going to set the next season set when the park is being set up. Which, actually, that might not be too disinteresting, to be honest.
That'll be alright. See how they got to where they were.
I also felt, in hindsight, I think Westworld is perhaps a bit too complicated.
Yeah.
I don't mind a complicated show, but it got to the point where it's getting very in-depth and complicated, and I could see if you watch. I think it's okay if you binge watch it, but I think watching it week by week, you'd actually have to think, who's that guy?
If I'd have watched it week by week, I'd have gotten bored of it by the end of like episode 3.
Yeah.
Because I'm like that with a lot of TV shows. If you make me wait between episodes, like the story that even if it's something that I really enjoy, I find it very hard to follow storylines over periods of time. It's the same with everything I do. If it's like a camera trick that I do, if I don't do it regularly, it'll just disappear.
Mm.
That could be my bread and butter camera trick. If I don't do it, I lose it. Same with TV shows, same with books. If I don't sit there and give them a proper good session, they'll just fade away. Westworld, I'm so glad I waited until the last few episodes came out for it. Otherwise, I'd have probably been bored.
I tend to binge watch more. Because I like the fact you can just sit down and watch. Like,
it's easier to do now.
Yeah. It's a feature, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
It's a feature. So, yeah, person of interest.
Have to check it out. I will have to check that out now.
Yeah.
I'll probably end up on like a million lists for checking it out, especially if I check it out over Kodi.
That'd be alright because you do it for a legitimate source. You use the Netflix ad on Kodi, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Right. Other news. Shall we start with your not Nintendo guy. Your Pac-Man guy.
Pac-Man guy. Right, well, there's going to be a lot of cops in as I can't remember. I can't remember his name because you've never put me on the spot. I know that he was like 91 or some such, and I know it was in the last 7 days.
Oh, sorry, I thought you wanted to talk about this. Sorry, I misunderstood this bit.
Well, no, that was fine. I did until I completely fucking brain farted when he just brought it up. I was like, shit,
this is going to be a good segment.
Right, chap who founded Namco passed away. Minute of silence. That'll do.
But, okay. rest in peace, whatever your Mr.
I'm sorry, I completely forgot his name, and to be honest, loads of people.
Why not? We prepare well for this, don't
we? Many people say to me, oh yeah, he was the father of Pac-Man. It's like, he didn't program Pac-Man. He ran the fucking company that fucking published Pac-Man.
You never know his personal life, you don't know what it says about him.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sorry, I said
that. Don't get me wrong, in fairness, look.
I said a bar level 4 to my brain, but I've always...
Good. Suppress the evil. Suppress the evil. All right. Sorry. You're only halfway sat where he normally is. Let it go.
Sorry.
Let it fucking go.
No, I won't. No.
Do you want to? We'll let this one slide, this one.
No, because it's very vulgar.
Should we let Ram completely flip his shit and release his inner bag?
Trouble is, it's going to be awful now. It's not going to be very funny now because...
Because at least you're in a bag.
You know, it's not going to be very funny because you've sort of discussed it too much now. It's like hyping someone up for a computer game. They'll just be disappointed when they play it. I just thought, if he was the father of Pac-Man, and that obviously meant at some point he had to have a relationship with Mrs. Pac-Man, do you think at the very end it went...
Oh, dude, come on. Oh, yeah, that was a bit... That's...
Now you know why I'm trying to suppress it, because that's too bard-like.
That was pure cheese. I will say. Well,
Pac-Man is yellow. Right, for the viewers and audio listener, but a scout.
I was right, 91! Woo!
Scouts is now googling Maesaya Nakamura. Mura?
Right, I'm going to send you on some language courses, son.
But how do you pronounce that?
Let me put my glasses on. Right, ready?
Yes.
Ready? Fucking expert. Now I can see in HD. I'm so glad there's not a 4K screen. Otherwise, I'm like, where's my milk bottles at, son? It's Masaya Nakamura.
Thank you.
Bless him. Rest these fucking cottons. 22nd of January. 2017 sucks dick already.
Yeah.
Namco's dead.
Right, go back to the chat.
Oh, right, we've got chat. Where's the chat window?
I don't know, you lost it.
I lost it. There we go.
Oh dear, yeah.
See, everyone thinks it's funny. Yeah, fair enough. You didn't go full bad on us.
Yeah, no.
You took the piss out of a dead old man, not a dead child. There's a difference. You didn't
that
go.
Was no, yeah, well, that's true.
You didn't go full retail.
No, I didn't go full bard. I managed to harm myself back. Another bit of brief news before I get on to my other story.
And I'm sorry for your disrespect, Nakamura, dude. Just.
Sorry.
Thank you for creating Namco.
This is a bit of personal news for us.
Yeah.
That just creeped me out a little bit there.
Well, me and Luke have got engaged.
Yeah, we have. Love you too, man.
We popped the question a few days ago, and yeah, you're all invited to the wedding.
There you go.
Civil partnership.
We killed Bard.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
We had to. That's what brought us together.
No, what it is we are in the process, mm-hmm. It's not finished yet, of relaunching Rand Nerds mm-hmm. website. We've gone from free hosting with WordPress.com Bad to paid hosting, so it's costing us more money. And we're raking all those pennies every month from the YouTube channel.
Expect Patreon to start at some point. For us to make really shitty content.
Yeah, But
I would never dream of saying that on anything I do.
No. One day, maybe. But no, I got to the stage with our old server was that it's basically we don't grow on it. We couldn't do on it what we wanted to do. We didn't have control over the files that we liked. Mm. If you wanted to have anything extra to it, you had to pay through the nose for it.
Yeah.
Just have a bit of extra storage space. And just be able to upload MP3 files cost you more money.
Yep.
So...
Because at the time, we just wanted a simple and somewhat secure...
Yeah, it took a few minutes to do,
place to host...
The
MP3 files for the podcast.
We've had it up there now for 2013 we started.
A couple of years.
Yes, 2013 started. So now time for us to move to proper paid hosting. So we should hopefully be relaunching the next month or two once I've got everything transferred across and I've redesigned websites.
I bet you've got to develop a level of excitement right now.
More nervousness because I'm shit at developing websites. So,
yeah,
so it was okay because the theme was perfect. I think I was just like, right, I'll just leave it to the theme. So we should eventually watch this space, but we're going to have a few more things on it. So we're going to have a forum. I don't know who's going to administrate it because I can't be asked.
Jesus Christ! Don't let me do that. Otherwise, it's going to turn into fucking Bart the Forum.
Yeah. No. I'll pass it to put recruitment out for some administrators. Yeah. Yeah. No. There will be restrictions on the forum. I want the forum to be sort of.
There's going to be restrictions on the forum. Me and Bart are banned.
I want to have sort of gentleman level discussion in the forum.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's definitely me and Bart so banned on
we
that one.
We may have to discuss the forum. We're going to have a forum. That's the main big change, but we're just getting a lot more control over our website for a change.
Yeah,
and a lot more fun.
That would be nice.
We've got no worry about storage space, so we've got limited storage. It's just going to be a lot nicer for us.
Whilst it was neat initially to have the WordPress thing, and there wasn't, you know, the whole idea was that we didn't have to keep up with the security of the damn thing.
Yeah.
Now I think it's about time we take a bit of responsibility and kind of grow.
Yeah.
Grow the brand.
Yes.
Or at least be able to do things with the site that we actually
Yeah, we can customise it a lot more. It's getting to the stage of WordPress. Like I want the biggest issue with WordPress is that you can only have 50 posts in a feed, which means for like the podcast, iTunes will only show the last 50 podcasts.
Which is a ball ache.
Which now we've earned over 50 means we've lost. They've disappeared. They're still there. They've just disappeared off iTunes.
People can't actually pull them down. And no. Because everyone knows that the only place to get podcasts...
is iTunes.
Fuck iTunes.
But because it's on here, we can now have as many ones we want so that all we appear on iTunes properly. Mm-hmm. We can even put like media center and have
direct
downloads.
Are we doing a custom feed for the podcast?
There will be a custom feed, but we use Feedburner as intermediate anyway, so we don't have to worry about correcting or redirecting it. So, I'm doing it in my spare time, so it may take me a couple of months to get it all fully functioning. Don't remember what it is because I'll just Nazi ban everyone at the drop of a breadcrumb. Fine.
Yeah. Let's
fine.
Do this.
That's fine. That's great. That's all we want. Yeah.
Ban everyone. Oh, they're creating a new account ban. That was a new person ban. Stop talking on the forums ban.
Yeah. So, but if you've got any suggestions what you want us to put on there, let us know. If you've got anything to the forum, what you want to put on there, what
just... I don't like that fucker's avatar ban.
Yeah. Anything you'd like us to do, let us know. You still email comments at randnerds.com.
Which no one ever sends us emails to. Did anyone actually check that email address?
Yes, I'll get on my phone.
Ah, see, I haven't got that account anyway.
Oh, right, okay.
I will.
Would you like to know what's on the cover? I should tell you now what our latest.
Is there any porn? There has to be porn at some point.
Let's see what our latest.
I got too excited over that, didn't I?
Let's see. Yes, I know. I know. I've got no. Yeah, I know. We are. Who's got no setting? No things. I can't.
Why is your phone being like mental?
Because it keeps bitching me over Yahoo because I've got a Yahoo server. Okay. So we've got a message email from YouTube. YouTube Creators Monthly. We've got pinback request for the post that I posted. Google, an offer from Google to get half price on any album.
Spam,
yep. Offer from Google.
Does anyone do anything on their Twitter account? That question.
No.
Wasn't bad. Supposed to be social media expert.
Yeah, that died of death.
Social media expert. He was also supposed to be the live streamer.
Yeah, that died of death. We've got something from one of our podcasts. Something exciting.
Hmm.
A message telling me that we've signed in on Google.
Ali.
Now we're back in December.
Basically, it's Google trying to sell us stuff.
Twitter spam. Rhino spam. We're spamming ourselves now. Yeah, basically that's it.
No one ever talks to us. It makes us sad.
No.
Look how depressed I am because of it. I'm literally suicidal right now.
Mm.
I'm drinking myself to death with two cans of...
Carlin.
Yeah.
Cheap beer. Yeah. Wow, all lager, actually. Yeah. But yeah, so watch this space. Hopefully we'll have a nice new splashy...
It's going to be...
Flashy Rad Nerds channel.
It's going to be at... Let them know, in case no one knows, because apparently the internet is literally just
it'll
Facebook.
Be Rad Nerds. It'll still be radnerds.com once it all transfers over.
And will the forum just be like forum.radnerds or...
Yeah, probably.
Cool.
I haven't figured out how to set it up yet, so give me a chance.
God's sake, Nick.
I've forgotten how complicated setting up administering websites were.
I've been doing that since like 2003. Oh, no, come on, man.
Yeah, it's like...
Look, I'm the one with a duffer memory and I can still do that.
I
say that, but I'll probably look at it and go, what's up with those new features?
I was like, what's C? I forgot about C-Panel, what C-Panel is.
Icon didn't look like that back in 1995. Well,
and then I went to the... we'll see it with this site, you get a... I can't remember, it's got a funny name, but basically you can store the add-ons with, like, not WordPress, but just sort of add-ons to your site, like all the forms and so forth. Sponsorific or something like that? I can't remember. But there's hundreds in there, and it's like, that looks cool, but I can't think how we'd use it. That looks cool, but I can't think how we'd use it. And it's like, really, most of the things in here look quite cool, but I don't know how we're going to use them, so I can't do anything with them.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
No. But yeah, it's great. It will be, eventually it'll be ran. It will, that's where you'll be seamless. You won't notice the change, apart from the site looking a bit flashier.
Will there be much JavaScript on this?
JavaScript is banned from the Rannes site. Fuck. We're using HTML 2.0. That's all that's allowed. With a little bit of PHP. No Adobe Flash. No JavaScript.
In fairness, we do both have
no Macromedia Flash. No Shockwave.
You have plenty of hatred over Adobe. Mm. And I have so much hatred for fucking JavaScript. It's not even funny.
Yeah. Banned.
Go to a website on my laptop when I'm out and about. It's like, oh, look, the website's broken. Oh, wait, hang on a minute. I've got fucking all scripts disabled. Click. Oh, 2/3 of the website is fucking written in JavaScript.
It will probably have advertising on it, only to help try and pay the bills.
Okay, I'll allow it.
So, but...
if you want an Asian bride, you can get one from our affiliate.
And who knows, when there's a possibility you might win a laptop by clicking on a monkey's face. That might happen.
You never know.
And who knows if you're the most intelligent person. You take the simple intelligence test, you might be the most intelligent person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know until you do the test. Just simply click here. And yes, you're the luckiest person who has won a PlayStation every time you look on our website.
Welcome back.
You all are the million visitors to our website. You all are.
Welcome to my botnet.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'll be taking down Bard's internet connection with every member of the botnet.
All six of us.
Yeah. Every time someone goes to the website and they click that fancy link to get their PlayStation 4, their Xbox One, we'll actually start advertising the PlayStation 7 as soon as you become a member of my botnet. You're not just a slave, you're a member of my botnet.
And it's got to tell you what's even better. It's got automatic email, so when you go on there, you'll get a thing saying the message is waiting for you, and you won't need to log into it. It'll just be there ready for you. And yes, it will dance around the screen. Yes, we can. I'll talk to the advertising team.
The advertising team, which...
We would like to give away monkeys for laptops.
There you go. See, so welcome to the botnet. We will be taking down Brad's internet connection very soon. I am not advertising this on the internet at any point in any time.
Nope.
The Internet of Things has given us a big enough bot now. I mean, I'm just saying. Do you know what I would like to throw out there just quickly? For two IT guys, we are not very good hackers.
No.
I'm just throwing
it's
that.
It's bad enough getting to our own accounts when we've forgotten the password. What was your mother's maiden name again? Mother, what was your maiden name?
Who are you? Woman who brings me food.
Now, the question was like, name your first pet now. What first pet are you talking about? Was it the first pet that I remember considering? Was it the first my pet? Was it the first pet that I remember having? Was it technically the first pet, but I don't remember? Which name did I use? That's one of three possibilities.
Seriously, if anyone can, I'm not going to even encourage it, but if anyone can find out the password to my online bank, and please let me know, because I ain't got a fucking clue. I'm just saying, because for the same, like I told you before earlier about trying to get into that account earlier.
Yeah.
It was like, oh yeah, you need a security question, you need the answer to your security question. No, I am not encouraging you to try and hack my bank account. There's nothing in it. Don't worry about it. If you want to pay off my debts, you're more than welcome to, okay, but otherwise don't do it. But trying to get into that account from like 2004, and it was like, yeah, you need a security question or the answer to this security question. And I was like, but back in 2004, you didn't ask for a security question. You didn't have this field to fill in to log in.
Like, it wasn't an option.
So, and they were like, yeah, but if you leave it blank, you can't log in. It's like, yeah, I kind of get that. I've realised that. But if I haven't got an answer, how can I give it to you?
Yeah.
And it turned into a right faff to try and prove that I am who I say I am to get into an account. It's like,
the other one always gets me is the security question of where were you born? Now, again, it depends how anal I was being when I answered the question. I've either the name of the hospital, where the hospital's located, or what I consider my actual birthplace, which is my hometown, which although, but it depends on the tale. So technically, I wasn't born in my hometown. I was born in a hospital near my hometown. But is it the name of the hospital, or is it where the hospital's located? Which one did I choose? I don't remember.
Oh, security questions suck balls.
Yeah.
How much of an asshole was I being? Like, there should be like a drop down. How much of an asshole was I being when I first signed up?
Well, I remember when I was reading up O2 when I was with O2, and when I signed up for I signed up my contract, you had to put down a password when you signed up. So when they speak to him. Do you think I opened up three? I said, do you remember that password? They were, I went up and said, what's your password? I said, I have one. Do I have a password? I said, right, you can run the next 20 options. Tell me if I'm right.
I always used to say, I'll take a guess. Was it something in the region of? And they said, pretty good. In you come. Well, I managed to get, let's be fair.
My first is in sore, but not in dog.
I managed to get into all of my bank details at, I won't say what bank it is either because I don't want them to sound bad, but I could have literally picked up the proof that I had to get into this account off the floor, right? And I walked into the bank and I literally, as proof of who I was, shoved them what roughly equated to a mini statement. Got full access to the account, walked over and changed everything. This was like, yeah, good job. Good job, Hank.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
You could have asked me a security question like, what's my dog's name? I haven't got one.
Yeah.
I used to do that. Which actually now throws me off like 10 years later when I'm trying to get access to an account.
You're being so clever at the time. Yeah. That's a clever answer to that question. That's a clever answer
to that
question.
So what kind of a dickhead does that?
Like, why did I put that on there? Why did I put that security question on there?
So what's your favourite fucking summer vacation home? I don't know.
I use LastPass now for most of my passwords now. Yes. So I've been,
I have KeepRSX
out. Yeah, but I even had it... But I used to use it for my Hotmail login. But with Windows 10, you log in with your Hotmail login.
Please tell me you don't do that.
Well, yeah, I know.
You do?
I know, just trust me, I know.
No!
I know.
You're supposed to be an IT guy.
I know, just couldn't be asked to faff around. Anyway, but
did you disable all of the fucking, like, the background? Yeah. You did that, yet gave them a mic. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
Like, oh, I need more drink.
That's all right. They haven't picked up all the legal software I've got on there yet. No, I haven't got any legal software on my computer at all. It's all perfectly above board and legit. All bought from Russia. so, but of course, My password was a 16 alphanumeric password with round V's. It's like, that's on my last password account, that password's. And it's case sensitive. Now I need to go find login to last pass. B. Ampersand. G. That isn't my password.
I've had that happen.
A little time mark. Six.
I can't access my account. Why? Because I can't log into my computer. Why? Because I can't access my password safe. What? I need another computer. Can someone give me another computer?
Yeah. I could design a laptop. So, oh, someone get a LastPass. Like,
oh, Jesus Christ.
The joy of security on computers.
Good times.
Finally, last thing to talk about in news. This is recently announced. Valve. How's it going to Valve? The EU investigating them.
For what?
I've actually, would you like me to read the actual statement from the EU?
1 second. Go on.
Okay. The Commission is investigating bilateral agreements concluded between Valve Corporation, owner of the Steam game distribution platform, and five PC video game publishers.
Who?
Bandai Namco, Capcom, Focus Home, Koch Media, and ZeniMax.
Fucking all.
The investigation concerns geo-blocking practices which companies prevent consumers from purchasing digital content, in this case PC video games, because of consumers' location or country of residence. After purchase of certain PC video games, users need to confirm their copy of the game is not pirated to be able to play it. This is done with an activation key on Valve's game distribution platforms. The system is applied to a wide range of games, including sports simulation action games, which we know as the three main categories of games out there, sports simulation action. The investigation focuses on whether the agreements in question require or have required these activation keys for the purpose of geo-blocking. In particular, an activation key can grant access to a purchase game only to a consumer in a particular EU member state, for example, Czech Republic or Poland. This may amount to breach of EU competition rules by reducing cross-border competition as a result of restricting so-called parallel trade for the single market and preventing consumers from buying cheaper games that may fail in other member states. The Commission is carrying an in-depth investigation of its own initiative. Translation. They're saying they don't think it's fair that a consumer might be able to purchase a game for, in, say, France, at a cheap price they purchased it in the UK on Valve's Steam. And Valve means that, and the Valve has restrictions in place. It means you can't log into the Steam, the American, the French version of Steam, say, purchase a game key and then use it in your British version of Steam. That's basically what it is. Basically, they're saying it's not fair on the consumer.
So please now go after Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft.
They are looking also at, this is not the thing they're investigating. They're also going down the region of consumer electronics. I think Sony's in there as well. About electronic devices being more expensive in different countries and not fair competition. Basically, they're saying that the exchange rate doesn't, and the costs do not warrant. Basically, we're being screwed over in certain countries. And they're also going after hotels, saying that if you were to book a hotel, say you booked a hotel in New York from the UK, it cost you three times as much if you booked it in New York at the time.
Okay.
If you choose to fly over there and book it there. But because the way websites are set up now, they can tell where you're from, unless you use virtual network or something. Unless you have ways around that.
Which everyone should be using if you're living in this country anyway.
Yeah. But unless you do that, they are saying that it's basically, they can now tell you're from, so they don't do a fair exchange. We've all had it where you've gone on a website and it's been like dollars. It's like, oh, it's been like $30, and you've gone translate to GP on the little drop down box, and all of a sudden it's £30 still. You think,
yeah, Apple are kings at that. Oh yeah, mate, it's going to cost like $900. And then you fucking, oh, so yeah, so that'll be about roughly, due to the exchange rate and after tax, it's going to be about this amount. Still going to be a bit less. No, it isn't. Just use the exact same amount or fucking more. I mean, I always tell the story when it comes to that kind of exchange rate bullshit. When me and DeWald were talking years and years and years ago, me and my mate DeWald, we were both, we quite like Apple products. Aesthetics-wise, they were pretty nice. Pleasing devices. Suck these days, build quality is absolutely atrocious. But you used to be able to go and get, so let's say you look at the Mac Mini, I think it was actually at the launch of the Mac Mini, you could look at the price of the Mac Mini in the UK, and that's your budget. Now, go and book a flight to New York to go and visit the fucking fancy glass Apple store they had, buy the equivalent Mac Mini,
chill out in New York for the fucking day and then fuck off back home and still have money in your pocket.
I know people who used to bike, and a chap used to give, he used to do business trips to America.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to buy all his Apple stuff in America. Yeah. Right up until the point where, because I think some people switched, because that's the other thing, some people switched on to, gone on to this, and basically you can, some things you buy over there, I mean, a good example is region locks on DVDs. Yeah. You could buy it in the US and couldn't use them over here. And there's an economy to hardware as well. I think certain hardware, if you buy in the US, won't work over here.
Mm-hmm.
From certain manufacturers. So, it's, I've never looked too much into Steam, because Steam's always seemed to be reason, for most things, reasonably cheap and within competitive, within the range price of everybody else, but I've never looked at other places.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never said, looked, okay, well, how much does this game cost in America?
Mm-hmm.
How much does it cost over in, you know, in France? Or so I've never really noticed it, but the fact that the commission's gone involved investigating it says to me they've obviously done some research just for, hey, this isn't right. And they're being screwed over.
Well, it can't be as bad as, say, Sony.
Mm.
You go onto the PSN, like, let's say, right, this isn't quite the same, this is a physical and digital thing.
Mm.
If I were to walk into game in Lowestoft,
yeah,
and I were to pick up, say, a copy of Earth Defense Force 4.1 on PlayStation 4. That could be a 20 quid game. You come home, you fire up the PSN, all of a sudden, it's a 40, 50, 60 quid game. But it's digital. I get nothing for it. I get the same data as I would from the disc.
Yeah.
You then look at American prices, fraction of what I would have paid in the UK anyway, if it was even available in the... Another thing that gets on my nerves... When a company will say, here's a game, okay, and if you want it, physically, you can only buy it from this place or this place. Mm. But if you live here, sorry, digital only.
Yeah.
Dog shit.
Yeah.
Absolute fucking dog shit.
Well, look at Far Cry 3, which was available in the American Steam store, but not in the British Steam store for a time.
Oh.
Mm. I was really pissed. It was available. It showed up on British. It wasn't Far Cry 4. It showed up on the British Steam store. I added it to my wish list, and then disappeared. And it's still on my wish list. But if I went through the store page, it said this something like this page is not available in your region. And I found out that it was available in America. You could buy it. You could pre-order and download and preload it and everything in America, but not in the UK. And it wasn't available about a month or two, but a good few weeks after release.
Which
so the thing is with digital. I can certainly accept it more of physical goods because it costs money to ship a good. It costs money. There's obviously VAT included in that. You know, we've got to account the fact that we get taxed, which the price we pay is not the price of the manufacturer, so that it's the price that sells it plus the tax we pay on top of it.
Yeah.
But digital, apart from the taxes, there should be no difference.
So let's throw out there, look. So what Nick is essentially getting to here, digital, it's one huge world. It's near enough the same data, unless you're living in a country where they speak a different language. But how the fuck can you justify...
But then, even then, you say, but most software you get has got all owners built into it anyway. It just chooses the right one, which you want when you get it.
Hmm. Well, so, like, for example, like, say, if you used to buy... And this isn't quite the same, but if you buy, like, a European PlayStation 2 game versus, say, an American PlayStation 2 game, they'd get, like, English and Spanish. The European one would get English, German, French... Yeah. Whatever. Same kind of thing with, say, Steam releases and whatever. But you're thinking to yourself, why am I waiting for a digital product?
Yeah.
It's there. It's the internet. It's one being. It's one thing. I hate artificial walls. I hate region locking.
Yeah.
It's a piece of fucking software. It should work. I should have it the same time. Every fucker else has got the same with digital platforms for films and things like that. Stop locking me out of music and films and things like that based on where I fucking live. All you are doing is encouraging piracy.
Yeah.
You're trying to combat piracy, but you are kind of technically enabling it. Because we're not going to wait for the exact same thing to be literally slapped onto a server or... have a little tick box clicked to enable us to download
it. In this day and age, it's pointless, though, isn't it? Because, you know, the connections we have between countries... And,
it's ridiculous. Yeah. What is the point? Oh, yeah, but we haven't got license. We haven't got proper licensing agreements in place for your country, so you know what? Fuck off. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to get the same MP3 files,
the same PDFs, the same game files. I'm going to get the exact same things as they are, yet I have to wait for it.
Yep.
Why?
Well, again, it's a licensing thing.
Yeah. Fuck off. Give us a wild license.
Yeah.
Be done with it. Digital product. It doesn't have a location. It doesn't have a place of birth. Yeah. It is just... it's data.
Yeah.
You are a pipe. Let it go.
Look at the craziness like Netflix, how you've got content available in one country but not another.
Yep.
Really? Come on. In this day and age, we can't have... Why, as some executives said, well... In America, you guys get to watch this in the States, but I don't want the Brits watching it.
That's it. And then you look at, say, the same with Australia and the Finnish version of Netflix. Yeah. And it's like, we can't roll it out to you yet. It's data. There's nothing. They have internet connections.
If you fly to America and log in with your Netflix account in America, you have access to all the American stuff while you're there. As soon as you fly back over here, it's gone.
It's ridiculous
in this day and age.
And I will say,
it has got better than it used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the days when we used to have Sky before we realised it was a con and got rid of the darn thing.
Good choice.
Yeah, it was basically...
you almost need a high five just for that.
Waste of money.
Quick, just high five.
Waste of money.
Fuck Sky.
And we used to always find it amusing that we used to get a TV series. The Americans get a TV series like 4 months before us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so at the early days, before all the internet was a major thing, you sort of accept that a little bit, because obviously it had to be shipped over and so forth. In this day and age, you know, when it got to the point when, you know, broadband was a thing, and, you know, distribution and Steam was a thing, honestly, it's crazy. You're telling me that some head of at Sony or Warner Brothers or Fox couldn't, like, just download this to someone in Sky? You know, they haven't got a channel here, Sky's got something to distribute it, why is there a delay? I mean, it's better now. Like, Westworld is simultaneous release.
Good choice.
Well, there's a few hours time difference,
That's fine.
That's fine, because we are different times. So it's going to be silly to have Westworld broadcast at midday.
Yeah.
They
do the same thing with anime now. You can get it literally within hours of it being aired in Japan.
Yeah.
Good fucking choice.
Yeah. So, in this day and age, we are one horse, it shouldn't be a thing.
Mm.
And that idea of companies pricing people out of the country is just wrong and disgusting.
Mm.
And it will say this is just an investigation. It's not a legal court case or anything yet. They're just investigating it. And like most of us, it's probably take 12 to 18 months to roll through. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when, you know, on episode 105, whatever it is, we say, oh yeah, turns out that so-and-so was doing this, and actually the prices were massively different. We'll mm-hmm. see what it comes to and what it comes out of. So there's no sort of court case involved yet. But what basically we'll see, if they succeed and they do prosecute, it could change, may say, right, you have the legal right to buy your game on the American version of Steam and redeem on the British on your British computer.
Mm-hmm.
Which also
can't we just have it? Whilst that would be neat, can we not just please have unified stores?
Mm.
Please, I don't understand artificial walls. I don't understand region locking for something that it's not a thing anymore.
No,
maybe in the 90s,
early stuff had to be shipped.
You know, early 2000s. But if you are dealing in digital goods, cut it the fuck out.
When it gets to the stage when pirates are giving a better deal than the publishers.
Which is where piracy comes from.
Yeah.
Piracy is not a price issue. It's a distribution issue. Give us the thing that we want in a way that we want it easily. Yeah. We will happily part with our money for it. Yeah. I fucking hate watching fucking films or TV series. And they say to me, if you want to get this version of the show, you have to watch it on, Hulu. Oh, wait, you can't watch it on Hulu
because you're the UK. Don't
live in this area or you're not on this ISP. And I was like, I'm willing to pay you for it. Give me the fucking product.
Yeah.
Same with over here in the UK in sports. I fucking hate sports. But if you want to get all of your sports, like all of your football and that, you have to pay fucking Sky, you have to pay BT Sport, you have to pay the random fucking geezer with the dodgy hookup down the street. That's the only way you're going to get it. We're getting to the point now where we live in a world where there should only be one kind of region for a digital product, yet now we're having to pay 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 different subscriptions to get one thing. Stop fucking doing it. It's retarded. I know you're trying to keep a fucking eye on your margins. Eventually you will be priced out of the market and you will die. Change, move on, do the right thing.
Just need to do what the BBC does. BBC has BBC America, and all stuff broadcast on BBC gets broadcast on BBC America. And that's so Americans get stuff. I think there's a slight delay, but even that's now, I mean, Doctor Who, I think, now gets a broadcast on the same day, just different hours. I think that's correct. I'll have to check that. But it's about time. The BBC can do it. Yeah, people
and
like
the BBC
Fox,
are as fucking ancient as can be.
Yeah, Fox, you know, was it CBS in America, one of the channels they have, their big channel. Whoever it is, the big boys in America, they can do this. And it is mainly sort of, I do think that we do tend to get a war, although I think that's not a bit fair, because there are other countries that get far worse deals than us.
Mm-hmm.
There are some countries that have like a 2-year delay between someone coming out and actually seeing it, but we do get a raw deal where it's, you know, it's a case of if it was a 2-year delay, it'd be irritating, but it's 2-year delay. But when it's like a week, it's like, why? Mm-hmm. Why a week? Why 2 weeks? Why a month?
In this day and age, it should not be a thing. Yeah. And I'd like to throw out there what, you know, Annie said here, that piracy used to be a copy protection is a massive pain issue.
Yeah.
I've seen many a time where people have resorted to pirating something they have paid for because the DRM on said product was fucking atrocious. Yep.
Or cracking products. I've cracked products because I had a game once that flagged up when I tried to run it. We've detected you've got CD copying software installed. You must install so you can play the game. I thought, fuck that. I paid for that software.
Yep.
That was actually a few legal. That's one of my many legal bits of software I've got on my PC.
Yep.
All my legitimately paid for software. I paid for that software. How dare you dictate to me what I can and can't have this?
Can can't
so what I did is I found a crack for the EXE, downloaded it, saw it, ran fine. Yep. Just bypass a CD check.
That's just it. Fuck them. I do not dictate to the user what they do on their own machine.
Yeah.
It's a stupid thing to do. It really is.
So I actually kind of hope, wherever your thoughts on the EU are, I hope the EU Commission gets a bit of tea, finds out there's something going on and stops it.
Mm-hmm.
Although how will that affect us is another matter, because we won't be part of them probably by the time it all goes through.
Yeah, for sure, the prices for our games, the prices for digital products will go up.
Yeah,
it's costing us so much more to run that service. Oh,
yeah,
we have to bump up the prices by 75%.
It costs us more to ship it across Trump's wall.
Oh God, come on, people, please.
So. We'll stop ranting now.
Should say rant over?
Yeah, rant over.
Region locking is...
As Annie says.
Fucking... Just digital restrictions are fucking stupid. I just...
So...
Don't do it. Just going on to the BBC, right? There was one time that I actually... I high-fived BBC America once. I wanted to watch the 1980s show Young Ones.
The Young Ones.
That's it. And you couldn't get it on DVD in this country yet. But there was an American box set available.
Oh, for
so I actually got it from America and then had to sort out the firmware on my DVD player so that I could play the American DVD on my British player.
I used to find it amusing that DVD software on the PC, on laptops, whatever... I always found most of them had region locks in. It's like, really? It's software. You do not need a region lock on software. You don't have to put that in there. They may insist you put it in there, but you can say, screw that, we're not going to have it. There are X-rated, there are, you know, hardware, is not what you can do about it, but software, you know, come on, guys.
Yeah, don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. Just don't program that in.
Silly. I also have the same issue with cameras. If you buy a Panasonic GH4 or GH5 in America, it will record until the camera is full. You buy the same camera in the UK, you've got a 20 to 30 minute recording limit.
Yeah.
That's fucking retarded. Stop it. Just stop it.
Isn't that a tax thing, though? That it classes different...
Yeah, it's not a camcorder, it's a stills camera, and we have different rules for those. Stop it.
So the beef that's not their fault, that's our
well, ours. Yeah, exactly. But just even for the old men with the ties that are literally disintegrating as they are writing on the piece of paper with their fucking massive ink quills, cut it the fuck out. This is not a thing. World firmware, please. Let it go. It's a world product. Regionless product. Stop. Because I'll just start. I will literally fly to somewhere that has the unlimited record limit if required, and I will purchase from there. And then I will beat the shit out of your security guards as I get to the airport. Stop it. Unless you're Finland, in which case they apparently have a thing against battery packs.
Well, according to my mother the other day, you cannot ship a lithium-ion battery into Germany, so that must be fun, even if it's in a device, so that must be fun, for they must have no mobile phones or laptops over there. You can't do it. It's like, well, they, come on, let's be honest, let's look logically here, there must be a way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what made me, so the Finland thing, what made me chuckle was that, so my folks went to Finland, and they took two battery banks with them. They were allowed to take them into the country. They were allowed to use them whilst they were in the country. As soon as they went to bring them back to the UK, they weren't allowed to take them on the planes. They were confiscated and destroyed.
Nice.
I was like, really? Fucking really? So, Finland, you owe me about, what, 50, 60 quid's worth of batteries at this point?
Nice.
Don't be dicks about it. You let them come into the country, let them back the fuck out. Yeah, we can't let them on the plane. Every single fucking device on the plane had one of those fucking batteries in it.
Even the plane's got those batteries on them now.
It's like, I just want to fucking bang my head through a wall. Really? You fucking
morons. I've actually considered as a business, you know, you can't, in most cases, you can't ship a battery to somewhere without it being in a device. I actually considered a business making a little box that you put the battery in and it has a little light that flashes. Because technically it's in a device at that point. So you can just buy a battery, you know, you have a laptop battery, you have a little adapter you put your laptop battery into, and oh, that little flow light flashes, and that's in a device now. You can ship it out, you can take it over there now.
So that's it, like, just put a little cheap LCD display on it, like, blinks a smiley face every now and then.
No, just a little LED. You can't taste that laptop battery because it's on a device. Right, clunk!
Well, that's what would have wound me up. Because
that's the device.
Where they took the batteries that I gave to my folks, I was thinking to myself, well, shit, what happens if I'd have took my laptop batteries? Because my laptop has a removable battery. So if I'd have took my laptop and the spare batteries, would they have confiscated the batteries for the laptop as well?
What you'd have to do, what they'd have to do is you'd have to have one person go through customs with the laptop and the battery, and they have to take the battery up, hand the laptop back, you put your next battery in, and just keep going.
It's like, Jesus fucking Christ. I was thinking to myself, like, what? You know, oh, we can't let it on the plane. They came over into your country by plane. I was like, you guys know what these are, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
I want to know.
Do they sell them in your stores?
Oh, I like the fact they think that somehow a battery is less dangerous than an electronic device. Batteries are more dangerous when they're plugged
into
something.
Did you hear about the fucking planes that got grounded when people were joking, saying they had Note 7s, the Samsung Note 7s, and people were grounding planes?
I saw the person selling a Note 7 as a novelty lighter on eBay the other day.
Did you hear was it Verizon, the American carrier, like, were pushing a firmware update for the Note 7 that would literally brick the device?
Yeah, and then because also people had to obviously have to update it, and people found ways to stop updating it. Do you know what they started doing next?
What's that?
Anyone who had a phone, if they tried to ring out, it would automatically redirect them to a Verizon call center. So they have to say, look, you need to bring your phone back in.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Stop. So, if people want to have mini lipo bombs in their fucking bags, leave them to it.
Yeah, them.
I've got no problem.
I think there's a point. There's got to be a stage where this is what we've done. We've done recalls. We've told people to bring them back. We've done all this. We've told them to replace them for free and all sorts of stuff. We've contacted them. We've put firmware updates to stop breaking the phones. At this stage, if they blow themselves up, they had it coming.
They really wanted that phone.
If they sue us now, we can say, do you know what more fucking more could we have done apart from sending like goons around to beat you up and take the phone off you?
Which at which point it would have probably exploded and caught fire and set fire to your house and killed everyone there, including our goon squad. We're going to sue you.
I think that's why. I think they've all been shipped to the American military to use in place of white phosphorus grenades.
That would be ace.
Yeah.
Good times. Well, should we stop ranting?
Yeah, we should stop ranting. We better get up. We'll end on a lighter note, because you know what time it is? Weird news time. Right, so...
Note 7s have been used in third world countries to start fires.
Well, if I have drinking and driving...
Yeah, never do it.
I have drinking and horse riding. I know someone's been arrested for that.
No, okay.
Yeah, drunk, so I know someone's arrested for being drunk and charged with a horse.
That sounds so wrong.
No, it was funny because they're drunk.
Was it funny?
No, because they're putting the reins like this. The horse was going back across
that
the
road. That poor fucking horse.
So I think, you want me to go right? No, left. No, right. Will you make your mind up? Do you want me to go right or left?
Bucks them off and kicks them. Like, yeah. Cut it the fuck out. Yeah.
Well, in Namibia, you can now be drunk while walking. Drunk, aggressive, being drunk in charge of walking.
Drunk and walking?
Yes. So,
how do I get to the toilet if I can't walk?
So basically, what they've said is, pedestrians in Namibia are being warned that if they'll be breathalyzed if they're hit by a car, they'll be breathalyzed as well to make sure they weren't drunk at the time.
All right, so they can't be retards.
Yes, most time the victims will be coming from bars under the influence of alcohol, which makes it difficult for them to fully concentrate on the road. It's not clear what the cost of it. He had motions could only slow down so much and be more tentative, but if there was an accident and they found that motions wasn't drunk and these guys were drunk,
it's their fault.
It would be more likely to be their fault. Those are going to do a campaign to teach people how to cross the road. Presume they're going to get what's-his-face go across there and show them how to do it. The Green Cross Code, right, yeah. Look left, then right, then left again, and then realise you're on the other side, that this country drives on the other side of the road and die.
Good time.
Apparently it's been tried elsewhere, including South Africa. Positions only if it's alcohol often exhibited risky behaviour, like crossing streets dangerously.
I
presume that means like sort of cartwheeling or walking backwards across the street, or police can't usually arrest them unless they're visibly intoxicated.
Well, they can't usually arrest them because they're fucking dead. They've been hit by a car.
Now, this is a concern for us now. Now we've got our new posh website.
Yeah.
Infrastructure dangers.
What have you done?
Well, when we think of infrastructure dangers, we think Russians at the moment.
Good old America.
Good old Russians. Or the Chinese, because we know all Kim.
America. It's not Russia. It's not China. It's not Kim. It's him.
Don't reveal that secret.
It's him.
Dude, this is why.
It's Trump's like, really hardcore security expert.
Yeah. Try to turn it off and on again.
I don't even think they've got that far, mate.
No. And where's this? Yeah, they're all currently doing what those the European Kapoor driving license course at the moment, aren't they?
Oh, God.
How to switch a computer on?
Is the power cable connected? No.
Now try opening a Word document.
Do you remember when we had to trial that?
Yeah, I remember that.
We were university students trialing babies first.
Six weeks to do it, and we did it I did it in the morning.
Yeah, that was night. Like that was an afternoon session. Yeah, I was like,
I've done it all.
That was an afternoon session. I have to go into the pub.
Now I was reading. It's like now to open the file, click file, then open. I said, you can just do Control O.
You got to follow the instructions to the letter. Oh, this takes so long.
File. Open. Now what do I do?
Read the book. Oh, click the file. Click open. Oh, for God's sake. Really?
Yeah.
Navigate to the direct... Oh, for God. What if I don't know? Do I have to put my mind in the fucking... Do I have to live in the mind of a moron?
Have you seen that video that's been going around of teaching your parents to use computers?
I actually tried to palm off ECDL to my family and they didn't do it. I just want to throw that
out. I've got a video I need to show you later. Okay. Which is very funny, if I can find it.
The European Computer Driving License or whatever it was. Ugh. Awful.
Okay, so anyway, it turns out it's not the Russians or Chinas or Kim who are the big threat. The big threat, it's not me either, is squirrels. Squirrels, birds, rats and snakes have been responsible for more than 1,700 power cuts affecting nearly 5 million homes. So we're talking about the power industries being knocked out here.
Okay.
This chap has been, Chris Thomas has been tracking the power cuts caused by animals. Do you know what this project's called?
Mm.
It's called the Cyber Squirrel One Project.
Right.
He is basically is countering the ludicrous of cyber war claims by people at high levels of government and industry. So, there have been a number of attacks, with squirrels topping 879 attacks in the last year.
Can't trust them squirrels.
Birds were then fought next, 434. So, you know, squirrels are really taking the biscuit on this one, or taking the nut.
They're all pretty vicious.
Mm. Snakes, 83. How a snake... I'm assuming what, wraps itself around the power cable or something?
Get fucking zapped to death.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, quarter of a... I don't know, a tube at power station or something. Raccoons, 72.
I can't trust them.
Rats, 36. Martins, 22. And frogs, 3.
Frogs, come on, lads. You've got to step up your game.
Yeah, they need to. Well, they can't move very fast, can they?
Yeah, but come on.
Most of the attacks were on power cables, but Ms. Thomas also discovered that jellyfish shut down a Swedish nuclear power plant in 2013, which we spoke about on the podcast.
They're catching up. They probably got that information from us,
probably.
By the way.
They probably did.
If you look in the sources list, random podcast episode or whatever.
Mr. Thomas, also best known by his internet handle Space Rogue, set up CyberScroll as a Twitter feed in March 2015, initially collecting information from Google Alerts. It seems to want a much larger project, collecting information from searching from other web sources. And so there you are. Squirrels, main danger infrastructure. So you now have permission to shoot all squirrels.
Fair enough.
If you via your internet connection.
Just random note. BT, improve your infrastructure. Aluminium is not a good thing. Oh wait. Just in case foreigners. Aluminium. It's wrong.
The foreigners sound pronounce aluminium like I try and pronounce a Japanese name.
Yeah.
Aluminum.
Fucking wrong.
Aluminum.
Aluminum. Wrong. I think we're taking the piss out of an entire country's worth of people here.
Yeah, we are.
Good. Fuck you. You got it wrong.
Do you remember back in the early 90s, late 90s?
Right, are we talking early or late? You're now starting to confuse me.
Late 90s. Right. There's an obscure children's television show called Blue Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember they buried a time capsule?
Did they?
They did, for the Millennium, to be opened in 2050.
Right.
And they buried it in a secret place, and it's a cursed secret place.
Down the pub.
Not that secure secret, because unfortunately, Bill's accidentally found it and thought they didn't know what it was, so they broke it open and looked inside.
That lasted long, didn't
it? Yeah, Bill's actually dug up Blue Peter's Millennium Time Capsule and then smashed it apart, thinking they'd struck gold. I don't think they literally thought they struck gold.
It's an alien!
Yeah, they were laying cables in the O2 Arena in Greenwich, where the capsule was buried in its construction in 1998. It was meant to be there till 2050, but it was dug up to reveal what life was like in the 1990s.
Crap.
Yeah. Its surface earlier than planned, but it came across it under 15 foot underground. No one realised it was the Blue Peter time capsule, source claimed. The boys thought they struck gold. They'll guarantee it with anything they could find, hammers, shovels, and the lots. Apparently, at one point, they actually got a forklift involved on it as well.
Fucking
hell. You presume it was covered with Blue Peter labels.
It's probably got like loads of badges and stickers and shit. It's like,
yeah.
Is Blue Peter that gone these days that people don't realise?
But when they opened it, they were disappointed to find mementos, which meant it a lot to Blue Peter viewers in the last century, including an asthma inhaler, Teletubby dolls, and a France 98 football kit, a Tamagotchi, and a picture of Princess Diana and the Spice Girls. I think and a picture of the Spice Girls, not the Princess Diana with the Spice Girls at the same time.
Damn it.
At one point, a bloke in the forklift squished it with the machine's teeth. Now, I have an issue with this. Forklift don't have teeth. They have tines.
Mm. We're going to stop being
specific. It was then dumped in a skip.
Oh!
Before someone realised it could be important. And how to the staff in the arena in East London.
Most of the people that have worked on this, like, you know, laying the cables and digging the fucker up, are too young to know what that actually was. What's the 90s?
Yeah. Apparently they're looking forward to sharing some reviews and making the one that they're going to rebury the capsule until 2050 again.
It's a bit fucking late for that now.
Now, we know the British legal system is a little bit old-fashioned. Even the laws are relatively modern. The legal system itself is a bit old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're now coming to the kicking screen to the 21st century.
Mm.
Judges can now sentence criminals over Skype or FaceTime.
Oh, fucks.
Under new set of rules that allow trials to be held online. Criminals, so basically they can live stream their sentencings.
Oh, joy. Twitch.tv/fucking
Convicts could possibly learn of the fate while seeing miles away from judge deciding it. I just have the vision of this judge sat in his house at home. It's
fucking like
with a webcam. I'm just in his pajamas.
Proper gear with his fucking like no trousers on or anything. Yeah, it's like they can only see from about here. Yeah. So that's all right.
You see, he's too busy playing World of Warcraft from the vanilla server to what's going on. Guilty.
Shit, guilty. Aggro.
25 years. I only had a parking ticket. 25 years.
Yeah, fuck you, mate. You're interrupting my raid. How turns out the fucking guy, the crim, has actually sat there playing WoW on the same team.
Yeah, so-and-so has been disconnected from the server.
What fucking dick? That's the guy you just sent in the server. No. I've just sentenced my tank to death.
The new rules follow statements from judges being that they believe they could save both time and money by putting technology in courts. By using Skype, officials save on cost of transport defenders to and from the court.
Really? Nick, I don't want to be part of this world anymore. I'm tired of this. I'm really fucking... Technology doesn't always make things better. No, this is going to get worse, isn't it? I'm going to have to go.
Soundproof vans, which will pose as travelling courtrooms and visit the homes of defendants, are understood to be under preparation as well.
Please. Please, just get me in touch with the people that are making these fucking decisions.
Now, we've just got to your favourite time of the year, and it's past. Tax return time.
Ugh, done.
Your favourite time of the year. What sort of things did you claim back in your tax return?
Not as much
as business expenses.
Not as much as I should have done.
Well, you need to be thinking outside the box.
Oh,
HMRC have revealed the most strangest expense claims it received from customers.
Please tell me prostitutes is on it.
Well, yeah.
Good.
Okay, so.
So I'm well within bounds then.
These were all unsuccessful claims.
Oh, shit.
Right. Okay. So, number one. So, we'll go from 10 to 1. Number 10. Caravan rental for an Easter weekend.
Okay.
Betting slips.
Okay.
A garden shed for private use plus the cost of space it takes up in the garden.
Yep.
Underwear for personal use.
Mm-hmm.
Cost of regular.
If you're a prostitute and you need an underwear, well, then that would have worked.
Cost of regular Friday night bonding sessions running into the thousands pounds. Armani Dreams is protective clothing for a painter and director.
Painter and director. Damn, that's one hell of a job.
Steven Spielberg does in his spare time. Pet food for a Shih Tzu guard dog.
Nope.
International flights for dental treatment ahead of a business meeting.
Nope.
Luxury watches a Christmas gift from staff from a company with no employees.
Nope.
Holiday flights to the Caribbean.
Nope.
You didn't claim for any of that?
Nope.
You fool.
I know.
What were you thinking?
I know. Jesus Christ. Man, I feel bad trying to claim anything back on my fucking tax. Like, Jesus Christ, what are you talking about? I feel guilty. Me. Of all people. Hang on, we've got text coming out.
Okay. Yeah, weird news. Good thing I have a fresh beer at the ready. Crossing the street whilst carrying a battery. So when would the appropriate time to tell the judges about the fascinating new invention called the motor car? Don't be silly. We can't throw that thing at them too much. Oh,
God. They've just sussed
out. Most of them are still on penny farthings.
Jesus Christ, mate. They've just sussed out the internet exists. They're trying to shoehorn that into everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm going to sentence you with my Amazon Alexa. What I love
is they use Skype, which is about 20 years since everybody last used Skype.
Yeah. Why isn't it? Well, that's why it's
part of punishment now. Why are you Discord channel?
That's why everyone's like, that's part of the punishment now. You have to install Skype. So, no. Yeah.
Plus, this could be a thing we could host on our website.
What, Skype?
No, you could have a forum where we could have a virtual court, and people you could have the defendant could put his case across in a post, the prosecutors put their case across votes. We can have the jurors can debate on it. And at the end, we can pass down judgment.
it's got to be done. The courtroom. There you go. There's a section for the forums.
The courtroom. The courtroom.
Make a note of it.
That, yeah, I can see that. It's like, yes. Okay. All right. I won't do the last one. Class one's shit.
Oh.
Oh, all right, go on then. You forced me into it.
Force it. I look twisted around, mate.
Awesome. 24-year-old man from Texas has been spent 3 years in prison after police found him with the drug crystal meth.
After installing the Skype.
No. Unfortunately, it wasn't crystal meth. It was cat litter.
Oh. Why?
He was driving along a road in Harris County where a routine traffic stop turned something much more serious. Officers spotted a believed to be half-pound bag of crystal meth, illegal and hided with drugs they had to specify in the newspaper article. They booked him in jail for 3 days.
I bet he was banging the fucking deputy's wife. Routine check.
His name and mugshot appeared in the terrorist news release, which said that his arrest may have kept our children and loved ones free from being introduced to drugs.
Cat litter.
Yeah. However, the case scheduled when the crystal meth was found to be cat litter in a sock, a trick LaBue's father suggested to keep the car windows from steaming up. It still explained why 2 field test counselors came back positive for meth. Presumably they tried a bit, and they felt a bit weird afterwards.
Oh dear.
In a statement, Harris County Sheriff's Office noted that LeBou was stopped for a traffic offence and questioned further when the offence noticed smell of marijuana coming from his vehicle. Because there was procedure in place, contraband was submitted to the institute for forensic science. It was determined not to be methamphetamine and charged with dismissed. He's looking for an apology for the mix-up, which is personally embarrassed and left jobless. I was wrongly accused, and I'm going to do everything in my power with my phone's backing to clear my name. Your name is clear, they dismissed the charges.
Just everyone else thinks you're a pleb.
Yes. So there you go. Weird names.
To be fair, buying meth is easier than buying cat litter in some parts of the world.
That's very true.
What I love the next bit. Install Skype is the new Your Nick Sunshine.
Yeah. He's lashing it. All right, it's a fair cop. Where's your laptop? What? You need to put Skype on there. No, not Skype. Not Skype. I'm guilty. Oh, please, bargain. Please don't put RC on there instead. Please. Never send Messenger. Anything but Skype.
Fuck, I'll even install Yahoo Messenger. ICQ, son. Jesus Christ, it's not
Yahoo Skype. Messenger.
I got punked out the other day for not actually having Skype installed. I was like, what the fuck is this? 1990?
Yeah.
Done.
All right. Podcast over. So, we got there in the end.
Nailed it.
So, very much watching everybody.
Yeah.
Look forward to seeing you on the next episode in a fortnight's time, regular as clockwork.
Yeah. We'll make sure that the stream works next time.
Hey, we were spot on. It was YouTube let us down.
YouTube did it wrong.
YouTube.
Bastards.
And it's probably we had the settings wrong, but we won't talk about that. It didn't work the initial settings, but then when we changed one little thing, it worked absolutely fine. We didn't.
We're professionals.
Can you believe we both did IT courses at college?
Can you believe that we didn't actually really learn anything from those courses in college? Do you want to learn how to type a document? I probably found ECDL more useful than fucking courses that we took.
Wow, you know, if it wasn't ECDL, I always used to wonder what to do when I used to get a finished one time document. I never knew what to do. But
how
then
come
I found out I had to save things.
How come the screen's black? Just gotta turn it on, mate.
Whoa. Oh, 5.
Alright, device nearly level 16, yes, son! See, World of Warcraft. You can watch a podcast and play World of Warcraft. Hang on, mate, I'll be there in a second.
To be fair, World of Warcraft is probably more enjoyable.
I should have been playing. Oh, wow.
There's another one there.
Oh, God.
Cheers to Stunat. It's been emotional. Well, I'm glad.
Yes!
I'm glad. We've had some laughter. We've had some tears. We've had some sorrow. We've had some joy. We've had some hatred. Fuck. And some love.
Mostly hatred. That's it. We're done.
Thanks,
guys. See you all in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Leroy.
Yeah, you see, I've managed to get a second... I've upgraded my second screen on my computer at home.
Yes.
I upgraded it by... I upgraded it. I went to my parents' room. They've got a big television.
And they've not really been using it. I said to my wife, when was I saying she watched that television? She said, well, I said, I think sort of like June last year. I said, right. I said, you would have
just confiscated their telly.
I said, oh, no, I swapped it.
I swapped my
19-inch for their 27.
You swapped your 19... You swapped your, like, 5-inch CRT.
Yeah. I got off my old Apple Lisa. And I swapped it for their lovely big 27-inch television.
My mate Divine has started learning Ruby. Not really my personal language of choice.
Ruby.
Yeah, fucking, I'm not a fan. Don't you start that. Everyone does that. Don't you start that. Right.
Start streaming. Yeah. Yes. I used to have a sheep called Ruby that I'd drove to the church.
Oh, God.
Whenever we see her, we used to go, Ruby.
Ah! Oh, no.
Yeah. Why ain't no worky, Scazzy?
Go button broken. Why no worky? Why stream broken? YouTube, why you no work? We know it's good, but you won't let us stream, you pricks.
Best podcast ever.
Yeah. Not the audio, at least.